Chris.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it. It's really a pleasure and honor to be here. My job for a few minutes is to give the perspective of a working CIO, and I know that some of my betters are in the room, including the First Lady of Healthcare CIOs, and I'm president of the Stephanie Real Fan Club. You'll be hearing from her later. But what I'm trying to talk about is, in context of this procurement activity, how do we thread the needle and accomplish reasonable results? And the job of a CIO is to take 25 otherwise reasonable individual requests that collectively are impossible and to try and find a not completely sub-optimized solution. So, you know, it's always useful to start with the what are we usually asked to do. And I made these slides as boring visually as I could to emphasize the point that this is really just table stakes and basics. So our North Stars, I think, as we think about interoperability, is first of all, you know, the triple aim, much of which is embedded in 21st century cures and others. The second is joy of practice replacing burnout, which is an enormous issue, at least in my part of the world, where, you know, clinicians are happy to have digital tools but not happy with the digital tools and are looking for, you know, what's next and how can we make this more usable? How do we reduce administrative burden? How do I possibly cope to deal with patient visits when my time with the patient is so constrained and I feel like I have to spend a lot of time managing the tech rather than the other way around? Third would be affordability of care to patients, but also affordability of the technology itself. And as a subset of that, I know one of the big struggles that many of us emphasize is how do we take the aggregate number of dollars that we spend on running healthcare and reduce that run expense so that resources can be redistributed to grow and transform kinds of activities. It's a major focus for what I do. Then innovation in terms of new therapy, new care delivery models, new modalities, all the rest, and then finally competition and viability. And I would argue that this, you know, starter set of five is what most healthcare provider organizations wrestle with. If it's a community care organization on a constrained margin, maybe the competition and viability is more, you know, higher on the list. But this list might apply to the VA or other kinds of organizations. So far, so good. This is the North Star we navigate to. Then what are the building blocks and hurdles? And I'll let you decide which of these is which in your own way that either gets in the way or enables us to accomplish those goals. So obviously there's HIPAA. There's the privacy rules, like the new European privacy rules, but also state regulations and all the rest, opt-in, opt-out, that affect HIE and other activities. The security world is enormous. HITRUST is helping us accelerate. But I have to tell you that I think this is a piece that will bedevil us for a long time. If we can't convince our patients and those who care for them that the data is secure, it's a major inhibitor to anything around sharing data at all. And you look at the large breaches in the financial space and in the healthcare space, and it's really a problem. Then there is the legislative kind of framework and regulatory framework in which we operate. I note meaningful use because most of the systems that are used most places were engineered around requirements that embed meaningful use requirements, and they will live for a long time. 21st century cures supplants that in some ways. I thought that Dr. Rucker might talk about these two pieces, you know, the core data for interoperability draft and the common clinical data set underneath that, and then the TEFCA with the three attributes that he mentioned. Clearly, that will define what we have to do, what we may do, what we must do, and it will influence the characteristics of the tools that we're purchasing. So that'd be my list of building blocks and hurdles. I know that there's others. Added to that are some accelerants, and I wanted to break these down into two pieces. One, what are the technology accelerants? And I put fire at the top of the list because it really is the most important thing going on right now in my judgment, as the ability to accelerate within the frameworks that I just talked about in order to meet the goals that were on the first page. And supporting the firework, obviously, is the Smart Consortia around the idea of developing apps that are portable from domain to domain, those kinds of things. And Argonaut, that Mickey can talk a lot more about, which is the industry agreeing to get behind this. I will tell you that I believe that Argonaut was absolutely the real deal when I walked into a room and saw senior folks from Epic and Cerner huddled over a table together trying to figure out how to make the world better. I'm a customer today of both of those products. They're both fine. To see that the industry giants are getting behind this, and I named two, but I could name others, is really a big deal. Then there is the ubiquity of HIT. It's easy to forget that we were entirely paper-based as an industry a decade ago and mostly paper-based 6 or 7 years ago. Most industries do not move from manila folders to digitization at the pace at which healthcare has moved. I think we have, you know, a little bit of PTSD from the, you know, free fall and was our chute going to open in time moment that we all, many of us, encountered. Now, a lot of organizations had adopted EHRs and other things earlier, but for most of the industry, they are just dealing with the incorporation of first-generation technology into the delivery of care. And that is a big deal that I think we overlook at our peril. But it is now ubiquitous, and it gives us the opportunity to talk credibly about sharing patterns, sharing data, sharing tech between organizations. Third, there's patterns from other industries. And I would point to two that are somewhat near to kind of core healthcare that we sometimes neglect. You know, there's lots of lessons to be learned from the X12 ANSI world around claims processing that I'm not sure we've fully harvested the fruit from that learning. I spent some time at SureScripts, and I think you could make an argument that e-prescribing and management of medications in the U.S. is largely solved as an interoperability problem. The percentage of scripts that are now committed to paper is awfully darn small. The number that are filled is, you know, really good. So what is it that we could learn from that? Well, it turns out that, the whole SureScripts network was all built on a set of RESTful web services that Dr. Rucker just talked about. Well, it took us a long time to kind of wander from through a variety of standards until we finally landed on that kind of technology that underlies FHIR. And then there's innovation in health IT, both traditional and non-traditional. If you look at the data about the amount of VC money going into health IT, including broad life sciences, it's a shocking number. As I came up here, I'm using my phone just to look at my notes, but I saw some sort of announcement that I'm dying to read at a break that Amazon and JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway are going to do something. And I bet it's shocking and amazing and wonderful, and who knows? But there is going to be a lot of stuff coming our way from both traditional and non-traditional providers. I want to emphasize traditional because most of American healthcare and increasingly international healthcare is going to run on platforms that will be provided by, I would argue, a dozen or less HIT EHR providers. That market will consolidate as it does in every other industry. And then there's some non-tech accelerants that I think we look to. Competition, both traditional and non-traditional. And by competition, I mean competition from a healthcare perspective. Before I came to Mayo Clinic, I spent some time at Minute Clinic. Different kind of scope, but it sure was fun to think about primary care in a drugstore and how we could maybe do things better and different. And I think a lot of that kind of innovation will be coming to other forms of healthcare. Consumerism is huge. People are going to insist that they consume healthcare in the same way that they do other things, especially with high deductible plans being now the, you know, state of the art. And then finally, changes in payment models. So what do we want as CIOs and maybe others buying this? From a procurement standpoint, we want EHRs that implement and fully support interoperability. So for most of us, we've bought an EHR, and we're not likely to rip it out and replace it with something else. So the focus will be on incremental interoperability or incremental adds to that corpus of work. But we'll be looking to the EHRs to do this. And I say EHRs because it is the core workflow engine. It's the ERP. It's the general ledger of healthcare. So we have to put interoperability in that environment and not bolt it on. Second, we need functioning national networks. I think there's a lot of merit to regional exchanges, but they're a temporary phenomena, in my view. Even local healthcare systems receive patients from a wide catchment area. We need functioning national networks, and I think that's one of the really powerful things in the framework that I hope we'll talk about. I'm also in favor of practical but temporary kludges. While we're trying to get things done, it's perfectly okay to do a workaround as long as you can tear it out and replace it with something standards-based. And then enablement for this, we want open standards and accessible APIs supported by congruent regulation and financial incentives like buying power. I'm really excited about what the VA may be able to do in this space for the example around community care, and it's been great to have dialogue with the VA around those issues. So that would be my table stake comments.
Thank you, Chris. Are there any quick clarifying questions for Chris? If not, we'll move to Chantelle.